Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
And we're going to look beyond our shores again now, because Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has agreed to support Sweden's bid to join NATO. Turkey had previously spent months blocking Sweden's application, accusing it of hosting Kurdish militants and using a veto that each NATO member has on new members. I'm joined on the line by Judy Dempsey, Senior Fellow at Carnegie Europe and Editor-in-Chief of Strategic Europe in Berlin. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you for joining us. I know you're at a NATO public forum in Vilnius this morning, which is happening alongside the summit. Is the Turkey and Sweden development a big topic of conversation where you are?
It's a very big topic. The two big topics are, in fact, the Turkey-Swedish relationship and Ukraine. And it's a real success, I suppose, for Jens Stoltenberg, Secretary General of NATO, who actually really worked very hard to broker this agreement. Essentially, Sweden is going to join NATO as soon as possible now.
So Turkey has changed their position, and I outlined how extraordinary that seems in the context of what they'd been saying right up to this point. How significant is it?
Well, it's very interesting because when neutral Sweden and neutral Finland said they were going to join NATO, no problem with Finland. Turkey had a problem, and Hungary, with Sweden on the grounds that, oh, they were harbouring Kurdish militants and other issues. But essentially, what President Erdogan has done is he's played a number of bargaining chips with the Swedes and particularly with NATO and, of course, with the United States. The fact that he's lifted his veto now on Swedish membership towards NATO may actually encourage President Joe Biden and encourage Washington to actually go ahead with the sale of a large batch of F-16 fighter jets, which were stopped. And now, given this new development, perhaps Washington will lift this, and this will be a way of President Erdogan to sell this new deal to his own public.
Okay, so will you explain that to me in more detail? How are those two facts related to each other?
I thought you might ask me this. So, in order for Sweden to join NATO, the trade-off was that if Sweden joins NATO, Turkey lifts its veto, then Turkey would expect a so-called present or a gift from the United States. They are linked. Swedish membership to NATO, Turkey lifting its veto, and Joe Biden saying, OK, President Erdogan, you've done a good job. Sweden can join NATO. Now, don't I owe you some fighter jets, which the United States has held back for such a long time? And this will be a big success for President Erdogan to go back to his Turkish people and say, look, you see, I gained something. And Sweden went my way. They met all my demands. And by the way, now I've got a seat at the table with the United States. And I think sometime today, Claire, President Biden and President Erdogan will have a bilateral in the form of the NATO summit.
So what he has managed to buy himself is that seat at the table and a warming of the relationship. How concerned should we be that Turkey so desperately wanted the fighter jets? Or is it more about the thawing of the relationship?
The alternative for Turkey was to play the Russia card and get special air jets from Russia, which would have been very actually destabilizing for this flank of NATO in the southern area of Europe. So this is the first thing. Now that America will probably lift its veto, its own veto, on supplying these fighter jets to Turkey, Turkey's sort of coming back into the fold of NATO. It never left it, of course. It had a veto. But it somehow strengthens the whole idea of the alliance. And in fact, this could be a setback for President Putin, who had tried to set up a kind of special alliance between Ankara and Moscow over the past 2 years.
Okay, so what this does is it tells us where Turkey stands. Just another condition for Turkey when it came to lifting the veto on Sweden joining NATO was a permission to join the EU, or for that process to start. Is that a realistic prospect?
The linkage is totally unrealistic. I mean, Turkey has been a candidate member of the EU for such a long time, and the EU can blame itself for delaying the negotiations. Turkey under Erdogan can blame himself too for setting back these negotiations with the whole issue of the rule of law and judiciary and so on. But this NATO question is now getting out of the way, and perhaps at one stage the EU will try to look at how they're going to push forward the relationship Turkey, which at the moment, Claire, is simply transactional. It's about refugees, it's about migration, it's about those little economic bits, not the bigger picture of bringing Turkey much more closer to the EU.
Now, you mentioned the other big topic of conversation is Ukraine. And is there a lot of talk about Ukraine's prospects of joining NATO?
Oh, it's non-stop here. Absolutely non-stop. And, you know, Will there be given a date for Ukraine to join NATO? Will NATO offer Ukraine a date right now? Will it be offered security guarantees? And they're actually working on the language, all the leaders attending the NATO summit. And it's going to be very, very crucial, because if the language does offer Ukraine a NATO membership, the question is when. And if it says after the war, well, isn't this Russia's interest to prolong the war or continue smashing Ukraine? It's a very, very difficult issue. Mm-hmm. If Ukraine is offered membership now, will the alliance actually defend Ukraine?
And when are you expecting some sort of agreement or statement to emerge?
One thinks around mid-afternoon, early evening. There's so many little details, timetables, to actually settle. And of course, there are divisions inside NATO about the whole aspect of NATO membership, not to speak of the security guarantees. And by the way, the whole idea of supplying Ukraine with cluster bombs and munitions.
Yes, that is likely, of course, to come up. And we heard about that over the weekend and the difference between the United States position on that and the United Kingdom. Are there others who are likely to raise that as a concern?
Oh, yes. While at least 23, 24 NATO members have signed the convention against these cluster bombs, others haven't. So it's extremely difficult. It's brittle and it's sensitive for the alliance. But above all, it just shows up the entire weakness of the whole defence supply capabilities of the Europeans in actually supplying Europe quickly. There isn't enough weaponry for Europe on the one hand, and on the other hand, what the Ukrainians are saying, well, we need these cluster bombs because you're not giving us enough weapons. Actually, Europeans are pretty, the stocks are pretty low at the moment.
Judy, it's great to talk to you and it's fascinating. Thank you so much for joining us. Judy Dempsey there, who is Editor-in-Chief of Strategic Europe in Berlin, but is currently in Vilnius where the NATO summit is happening today. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.